Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are in the air everywhere yet again. This is the Friday podcast. We are back at it in a conversation podcast because 4 hours a night on the overnight, obviously not enough. We do this 8 days a week. We'll have podcasts for you on Saturday and Sunday. Tell a friend, get the word out, spread the word, not only on the iHeart platform, but all over, wherever you get podcasts. And this, a conversation podcast, we are going into the Rolodex of stars at Fox Sports Radio. And someone that you might not know, a lot of people don't realize this. This is somebody I actually worked with at two different places in my radio journey here. You know him. You love him as half of the night show. It's the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Because of the fairness doctrine, we had Harmon on last week. So we must bring in the number one Jets and Mets apologist I know in all the land, the great Jason Smith hanging out with us here on the Fifth Hour. And Gascon's here. He'll chime in from time to time. I got to warn you on that, Jason. I've got to warn you that Gascon might chime in with an annoying question at some point. So,
well, I'm kind of used to when he does that. You know, when he does the updates on the show during the week on my show. When suddenly go, okay, hey, what's trending? And he'll just say to me, "Is it Sean Burke?" Okay, no, it's not Sean Burke. Is it Morris Lukowicz? No, it's not. Is it Usain Bolt? That's kind of what Gascon likes to do.
Ben, to be fair though, I've thrown Jason off once at least when I mentioned, "Is it Selma Hayek?" And it threw him off, just completely off the reservation. So I get those in from time to time.
So I feel your pain, buddy. I know what's going on here.
Well, listen, Jason, Gascon aside, we'll just try to over... Gascon's what's known as an acquired taste, but nobody's acquired the taste. That's the problem. So that's the issue. But I'm going to make it all about us. You know, I want to make it all about us, Jason, because in the early days of Fox Sports Radio, we did shows together, and we actually worked together at Extra Sports 1150 back in the day. We were at that station at the same time before Fox Sports Radio existed. But I have fond memories of doing the show with you on the weekends. But most of them, Jason, revolve around food. Most of them revolve around food, not necessarily doing the show, but the eating habits that we had in those days. What do you remember about the early days? And we were hanging out, you know, I think it was like a Saturday night. I think we were doing something, and I forget exactly when, but it was in the evening time, nighttime hours, and we did a lot of shows together back in those days.
Oh, we did, buddy. I remember when we first started at 11:50, you were on the Ben and Dave show, and I was filling in with Lee Klein, and I would come on after you guys. And I would come on, and you would always have something really funny and snarky to say about Lee. And I would go, "Ooh, I hope these guys get along well." Okay, I know they must. Everything's all right. And then we hooked up again at Fox, and yeah, it was like Saturday and Sunday night, late night, into the next morning. And the food we had, like we would go to the gas station and get like I would go, okay, our show's like 4 hours long. I think one show was 5 hours long, and I would have like three things of Hostess cupcakes and like two Diet Cokes and a Diet Dr. Pepper. And oh, let me get some cheese and crackers too. Like we had the entire area covered, like in front of where we would do the show from, like right next to the keyboards and the computers. And I think the computers are still the same from when we started back in the early 2000s. And we would have, it would be like a smorgasbord of gas station food that we would have. And I remember the Hostess cupcakes the most because they must have had like six of those every night we did the show together.
Yeah, and I remember the gummy sharks. That was always big because they didn't always have the gummy sharks. So when they had the gummy sharks, that was very big. And then, you know, this is back in my Big Eating days, Jason, and I'm like double fisting. I got M&Ms in one hand. I got gummy bears in the other. I got the Cheetos over here. I got the Fritos over there. You know, the Frito Banditos over there hanging out in the back. It was awesome. I mean, it was great. And now look at us, Jason. All these years later, we're still there. I know you left for a while, but you're back. And although my diet's changed a little bit. Are you still eating the crazy diet?
No, not as much, man. It was weird that I got to a point where I said, I just can't keep eating like this. I just can't do it. And now since I stopped drinking diet soda, like I've really cut back. Like now I maybe have one every couple of days. Like I have a caffeine headache. And I notice how much less I need to eat. I'm like, wow, you're really right that caffeine is a diet stimulant, is an appetite stimulant. Because, you know, I drank Diet Coke for years. I would drink like, you know, three a day, you know, is what I would have. I would keep drinking and keep drinking. Oh my, and if days I went out to watch a game or something, oh my God, I would just tell the waitress, yeah, Diet Coke, keep them coming. Keep them coming. Just one every 10 or 15 minutes, I need one. And then when I stopped, and I said, you know, I just can't. It's, you know, I get to the point where I gotta start doing something else. And I realize I'm full after so much less. Like, oh my God, I mean, I've eaten a piece and a half of pizza and I'm full. Usually it's like four pieces and I go, oh man, I'm kind of full now. And it's amazing what happens when I cut that back. So yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I mean, it's been something just realizing when you change how easy it is to go back to just, you know, eating what regular people eat instead of, you know, what we used to pack away doing an overnight show.
I know. Oh my God. I would eat. I would just gorge back in the day. And I love soda too. I was a huge soda guy. I actually lost a fair amount of weight originally, when I gained some of it back, but by stopping drinking soda. I was a Dr. Pepper guy, loved Cherry Coke, and I'm the guy that would go in back when 7-Eleven had those, you know, like triple big gulp things or whatever, the double big gulps. I'd go in there, I'd fill it up, I'd drink half of it, and then I'd fill it up again. Then I would check out of 7-Eleven. That would be my move.
Hey, this guy here is trying to get away with not paying for an extra drink. Look, he's drinking the whole thing and then he's filling it up.
Yeah. I didn't even need a Slurpee, man. I just needed extra Dr. Pepper or whatever. I was good to go in that. And now look at me, Jeff. Now I don't even eat most days. Now I'm like into this intermittent fasting thing, which is my new Michigas here. And if you would have told a young me, Jason, you knew me in those days, that I would go like 2 days a week without eating, I would have said, you're insane. I would rather die than do that. But look at me now. Getting old, Jason, I guess, is the lesson there. But my goodness.
You know, I remember once, I forget what we were talking. We talked about this on the air because I was so impressed by it. But we were doing something, and we were talking about a topic. I forget. You know, you would talk. You would say what you were going to say. And then I started talking. And, you know, I think I talked for maybe, like, not even a minute, like I want to say, something like that. And in that minute, you finished an entire Diet Dr. Pepper. Like, you know, I thought you finished talking, and then I started talking. You opened up the Diet Dr. Pepper, and you just went, gloop, gloop, gloop. Then you stopped, and you went, gloop, gloop, gloop. And you finished it, and I was like, oh, my God, buddy, that's impressive, man. How did you do that? Usually if I drink soda that fast, my eyes start tearing. And it's like, oh, I gotta stop. And you just went right through it. It was 45 seconds, and you were done with an entire Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, as you know, Jason, it's not easy to become a total fatso. You really have to work for it. You have to have skills. You've got to have skills to get to that level and look like the Michelin man. So I did have that skill. Now, you mentioned Lee Klein. I've known Lee for years. As you referenced, we used to bust Lee's balls all the time. I've had Lee on the podcast a couple of times since we were doing this the last year and a half or whatever we've been doing the podcast. But I love Lee Klein stories because he is known as the original Prince of Darkness. I know Jonas Knox, our friend Jonas, has that nickname now as well. But Lee can turn the most positive story about like rainbows, sunshine, and lollipops into a horror story. Like he has a gift in that department. But what are some of the things that stand out from your days working with our buddy Lee?
Oh, I remember the first day I worked with Lee. The first day I filled in, I was so nervous, right? Because I hadn't really done sports talk radio before. It was my first chance I was getting. You know, I find out from, I forget who our producer was at the time, But they said, hey, listen, you know, you want to get in. The show starts at 8. Why don't you get in around 6:30 or so? I'm like, all right, great. I get in at like 6:15, making sure, and I'm sitting there for 15 minutes. I'm nervous. And Lee comes walking in, and he says something to the producer. And Lee walks over. He goes, are you Jason? I said, yeah. He goes, I'm Lee. How you doing? He's like, first thing I want to let you know is we're royally blanked tonight. Just so you know, right off the bat. And he walks out of the room. That's the first thing he did, tell me, we're royally blank tonight. And he walks out of the room, and I go, I don't know what could possibly be happening. What could be happening? And it was something so benign, like, oh, we may go on at like 8:15, you know, or 6:15, yeah. Coming on like after a game. And I'm like, what are we royally blank? Like they're going to come and take the station's license away, and they're going to, you know, are the police coming? I don't understand. But that was my first experience with Lee Klein, and I'll tell you what, he is like a real life Kramer. Like there's times, like after I got to know him, he would come to my house at like 10 o'clock in the morning. Like I'm in a robe because I work late at night. Knocks on the door. I go, hey, what's going on, Lee? Hey, come on, we're taking a ride. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm taking a ride? What are you talking about? Yeah, taking a ride. I need you to take a ride with me. And I'm like, okay. And it would be the most random place. Like, hey, I have to go pick up these Clipper tickets at the station, and then I got to go to this appearance that I have to make. I go, What am I doing with you? Oh, you're going to come on. I'm like, okay, like every day. It was like we had Kramer days. I'm like, okay, whatever Kramer wants to do, we're going to do today.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. And Lee, there's several famous Lee stories. The one that is my favorite, I don't know if it's my favorite, it's in the top five, was when it was on the weekend at 11:50, and they were fixing the phones. The call-in lines were down. And Lee had to host like a three-hour show on a Saturday. It was a Saturday morning, and, you know, it was kind of a light time. I think it was during the summer, you know, there's not too much going on. These are the days before social media, where there's not as much content out there. And so Lee, he's like, I'm not doing the show without calls. He's like, I'm not doing the show. He starts freaking out. And so the only inbound lines that were working were the hotline numbers, which is the, you know, as you know, Jason, being a radio, it's the holy grail. You're not supposed to give out the hotline number, the warm line they call
no
it.
No way. That's the biggest, yeah. That's the biggest no-no to do.
So hand to God, Jason. Lee does his opening, a little monologue, and then proceeds to, he says, well, only for today, I have a special number to call in on. He then gives out the warm line on the air for people to call in to his show. It was hilarious. Oh, my God.
I can't believe he did that.
He did?
Oh, my God. Oh,
it was awesome. It was awesome. Now, before I go too much further, since we've been at Fox Sports Radio since the early days, and you left and then came back, but you did shows, and this is something, a name that a lot of people who are listening now might not know, but if you've been with Fox Sports Radio since the early days, you know this guy, Sarge the Comedian. Sarge the Comedian, and have you kept in contact with him? Is he still around? Is he still? I know last I heard he was like doing boat comic acts or something like that. I lost contact with him, but he hosted a show on Fox Sports Radio in the evening time. And I remember,
yeah, I was
yes sir. It was yes sir, no sir. He had some catchphrase that you had to say when you called in, and no one would say it, and he would get very annoyed.
Yeah, you know, you had to say sir, yes sir, to get on the air. And anytime someone would get on there, they'd say, hey, you're on the air. And the guy would go, great, hey, I think the Cowboys need you. He'd go, no, you got to say, sir, yes, sir. And then there's people who just couldn't say it. They would say, yes, sir. No, sir, yes, sir. Sir, I want to talk about the Cowboys. No, you have to say, sir, yes, sir. It gives you permission to speak. And sometimes it was really funny because I think some people just did it on purpose. Like, I'm just not going to say it. I'm going to say, yes, sir. I'm going to say, no, sir. I'm going to say, aye, aye, sir. I'm going to say all these things just because I want to see how far this goes. Yeah, I was on with him at night, and we were on for a while, and then he did wind up going to do, I think that's what he's doing. I haven't talked to him in years and years and years, but I think that's what he's doing. He's doing doing comedy on ships, which is, I think, what he did before he came to Fox. Like, he would be the comedian on a ship, and that's, you know, he'd, you know, perform, like, every night and go on, and that's kind of what he does. I think that's still what he does.
Well, if that's what he does, though, right now, you'd have to say he's not doing that because of what's going on the last year, right? The cruises aren't really happening right now because of the pandemic.
No, I can't believe anybody's going on cruises right now.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to bring up somebody from a long time, but you're going to bring up Bob Page. That's what you're going to wind up talking about.
Well, that's my personal. Bob, when you talk about wild and crazy, man, remember, Bob thought that the listener, and I got along with Bob, and we had a fallout at the end, apparently. He trashed me on Twitter, and then he apologized for it. But, Bob was like the guy who replaced Howard Cosell on his radio show in New York and all this. You know, he's a Detroit guy, but he spent time in New York. And, he was a character. He thought people listened from the beginning of the show to the end of the show and didn't tune out. And then he also, the other thing that blew me, he didn't want to take calls from cell phones because he thought the quality. Can you imagine doing a show and say, we're going to take calls, but no cell phones can call in. No one would. Who's got a landline? Yeah. No one's got a landline.
There would be a show with no phone calls. Why how come no one's calling in? Well, it's just one guy. It's just one woman. She's 85. She's calling in from a landline. She wants to know what you think about the Chiefs.
I try to think the original Fox Sports Radio lineup. They had Jeannie Zelasko, Kevin Frazier, Bob Page was part of it. Was it Bob Golic, I think, was doing the overnight show originally. Not Bob Golic. Was it Bob Golic? It might have been Bob.
No, yeah. Bob Golic and Rich Herrera did nights.
Yeah.
And Dan Cilio did overnights.
Oh, that's right. Cilio was doing the overnights. Right? Cilio. That's
and then
right.
There was, and Chris Myers and Steve Lyons were on during the day. It was like Myers and Lyons, and it was Gene Zelasko and Kevin Frazier. Like, that was the afternoon run on five. Then it was Bob Page doing afternoons. And then it went into Golic and Herrera and then Dan Cilio. That's how it went.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lampley did a show for a while. Well, but Bruno was the big morning guy they had. And then, the network actually went dark when Rome was on. Jim Rome was on because it was a premier property. So they didn't have, at that time, they didn't have any show in that window in the early days of Fox. Now, you did TV for a while, Jason. You're a big TV guy there. And actually, when you started in radio, you were, I think you were at Channel 7, right? You were working at Channel 7 in L.A. before you went to 1150, right? If I remember correctly?
Yeah. I was producing sports. I was producing the 6 o'clock sportscast and the 11 o'clock sportscast. It was Bill Weir, who now is, huge, moving on in CNN and at different places, and Rob Fukuzaki, who's still there. I just had Rob on my show two nights ago to talk about the Tiger Woods story because he was actually, you want a great story, Rob Fukuzaki, Channel 7, has been the main guy there for like 20 years. When their coverage was going on for Tiger Woods, like Rob wasn't on the air, and he wasn't on the air because he was at a funeral for his great aunt, I think, had died. He was in a service. He walks out of the service, and he's boom hit with all these texts that, hey, Tiger Woods in a serious car. And he's on the air outside of the funeral, and you can see he's wearing a suit, and there's, like, flowers everywhere, and he's got his camera up, and he's holding his camera up, and he said, oh, my God, my arms are so tired from holding this camera up. And he's just on the air talking about this, and he just walked out of the funeral. And just, oh, you're on the air. You got to talk about this. And, wow. That was their coverage. It wound up going all day.
That's wild. Oh. Rob's a great guy. I love Rob. Rob's wonderful. And Bill, I remember Bill Weir, when we were doing the Ben and Dave show back in the day, we had Bill on, and he, even at that time, he's like, he didn't really want to be the sports guy. Like, he always wanted to get into news, and I know he's been at CNN and other places and done pretty well for himself, but even back then, I think he was kind of like, he was already looking to get away from the sports stuff. He had other aspirations other than being the sports guy.
He came into KBC. I think, remember Bill telling me that, like, they promised them certain things and they didn't deliver on it. Like, he was supposed to get a show. I think he was supposed to get that show that, who hosted Byron Allen, right? Remember when he'd be in a taxi cab and he'd be driving around and celebrities would get in and they'd do an interview, then they would leave and somebody else would get in. Like, I think that was supposed to be his show. And then for some reason, KBC, didn't want him to do it. He got mad because, that's why I came there, to be able to do stuff like that. But, that was supposed to be his show originally. Getting the cabs going out, people coming in. And then Jerry Seinfeld now turned it into a whole big thing where he started doing it, and then he does comedians getting coffee with it. So, it turned out to be a great idea 20 years ago.
There you go. He's ahead of his time. And then you worked at the NFL Network for a while, right? You did that, and then now do you like TV better than radio, Jason, or are you more of a radio guy?
Well, I'll tell you, the beginning for TV was great because it was because I first started doing TV, I did some bits on ESPN, I was on Roman's Burning, and I would be a panelist. I actually guest hosted a few times, which was awesome. And the one thing I noticed was that I'm like, okay, well, here, we need a big take on this. I'm like, okay, well, what do we, yeah, it's got to be like 90 seconds. So can you do, I'm like, can I do 90 seconds on a big take? Really? You know what I do? You know what radio, right? We spend 12 minutes at a time on big stories, and we just keep going and going. You need 90 seconds? Yeah, sure, I can give you 90 seconds. So for a while, it was so different, and it was fun because you're boiling down everything you're talking about, and you're really getting it into, you know, a certain amount of time. Like, boy, this is fun. It was an easier segue to do it because it was going from, you know, creating all this content to creating a little bit, you know, doing the same things but creating less content. I was like, wow, it was great. And it was great for a while, and doing NFL Network was great for a while. And then towards the end, I was like, boy, I really miss being able to talk a lot. Yeah, it was something I'm like, boy, I really miss, like, this story right here. I'd love to talk about this and this and this. So it kind of came full circle where radio was, you know, hey, it was awesome. It's what I wanted. Then I wanted to try TV for a while, and I did it. Then I realized how much I missed radio and came back to it. So, you know, it was kind of a yin and yang, but I'm glad I'm you know, getting to do all of it now. And but radio clearly is, hey, I like being able to have some time to go through a topic or have some fun and tell a joke or tell a story where there's no real time to do that on TV. So this is actually a much better, it feels like a much better format for me. Well, you know, as you like to say, you know, you're the overnight gas bag and I'm a gas bag. We're all gas bags. You know, Gascon is Gascon, but we're gas bags. And so it kind of fits for us to do stuff.
Well, Gascon is Gagon, actually. That's his official nickname. And he's falling asleep. Are you okay, Gagon? Is everything okay?
I just feel so young compared to you guys talking. So it's actually a great.
Well, you don't look young. You might feel young, but you don't look young.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Jason, I got to ask you, since you guys have talked about this so much, do you feel that the format radio-wise is easier, even though you have to abide by a clock when, you know, you're talking about measurements and audiences and all that other BS? Do you feel like it's still easier than it is for television, or do you think it's the other way around?
I think it's easier from the perspective of, as long as you're in it every day, And that's something that, hey, if, you know, look, the constant prep that we do every day and being involved in stories, when something comes up, it's okay, here's the latest thing involving Russell Wilson. I know all the background to it. It's nothing that I got to learn new. Like sometimes you have to do for TV because, hey, here's this and we're going to do this story tomorrow. Okay. So now I have to kind of, you know, brush up on it if it's something that I'm not quite familiar with. But the stuff for radio is like, okay, I already have the background for it. I know, and now I can look forward to, hey, what can I do that's a little bit different or that people haven't heard yet? And that makes it a little bit easier because that comfort level of just getting in saying, I'm just going to get to talk. Because the one thing I like to do that I'm pretty good at is talking. So, you know, it's very, very comfortable to do that. And then you get to the point where with TV, it's like, okay, 90 seconds on this. I got it. Then you're like, oh, man, but I want to say this, this, and this. I only have 90 seconds. I don't know that I can do. Can I say all three of it? I got to leave one of those things out. I don't want to leave one of those things out. So, you know, it kind of comes back around to that, you know, wherever you're more comfortable and wherever you've done longer and you feel like you're more comfortable prepping and getting in, that's going to wind up being the easier thing.
Yeah, because you've had this knack too where your form and your style is unique in the sense that you can integrate a lot of pop culture. Was that organic, or was that something you felt like through the course of your career, I need to include this when I talk sports just because it's more relatable and it separates me from the rest of the guys that are strictly all about sports every single second of every single segment?
No, that's just kind of who I am. I've always been a big pop culture guy, always been big TV, movies, music, you know. So it's just part of who I am, you know. In fact, when I go out, like if I go to parties, you know, we could go to parties, hopefully we go to parties again. You know, I'll go to parties and the conversations that I want to, you know, have with people are, oh, are you watching, you know, Raised by Wolves? You know, are you watching The Boys? Oh, and I'd rather talk about that. And then when people come up and say, hey, man, so what do you think? Are the Lakers going to make a trade? Are they going to go get Blake Griffin? Are they going to – and I'll talk about it. It's fine. But it's like, you know, I do that all the time during the week, you know. So when I get to stretch my legs a bit outside something else, that's kind of what I really like to talk about. You know, I would love to be able to – one thing I really would love to do in my career is be able to blog about TV and movies. You know, that's one thing I'd love to do at some point. So it's kind of just always been who I am. And it's, you know, that's kind of what I've always wanted to do is say, okay – this is who I am, and let me bring that to the show, and let me tell you about my life a bit through what's going on in the world of sports. That's kind of always the way I've been.
Is there something else that you're working towards then in terms of a second career, if you will, besides the radio platform and what you're doing at Fox that you're looking at?
Well, I actually I wrote a book a few years ago. It got published, and it did as normal first books do. They didn't do very well, but that happens. I remember when I got it published, my publisher said to me, "Now listen, you're not going to make any money on this." I'm like, "Oh, okay, great. Thanks for bursting my balloon there. Right. Not going to make any money. So you're not, because you don't make money on your first book." I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. You know, you get it published, then you can write another one." I'm like, "All right, great." So I wrote my first book, which was great, which I love doing. I love writing. And I wrote my second book. It's a novel, and right now it's with my agents, and hopefully something can happen there. We'll see. If not, I'll try to do things like, you know, entering it in contests that happen online, you know, a couple of times a year and everything. So that's kind of what I like to do. I'm not saying I want to go do something else, but like if I could, you know, because I've done TV. I'd love to do TV, you know, again. You know, I did TV up until just a couple of years ago. Then I started writing. So it's kind of like whatever I'm into at the moment, like outside of doing radio. And right now it's been more writing than it's been anything else.
Yeah, and the thing, too, about TV, I only did TV for like a year at NBC. But the thing that's so much different than radio is like there's so many different producers. And same in radio, you got a producer, but it's not – every segment is, you know, formulated and by the second. It's a much – there's so many different moving parts to television than radio. It's a big difference. As far as the book thing, though, Jason, now, are you a nonfiction or a fiction guy?
Oh, I'm a big fiction guy.
Big fiction.
Yeah, nonfiction, it's really got to be a great book for me to read nonfiction. I'm just not – that's just not what I normally read.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. And now, so you didn't make money on the first book. How many books does one have to sell to actually make money? Like, how does the business work selling books? Like, is there a threshold that if you sell a certain number, you can make X amount of dollars? Like, how's the business work?
Well, supposedly is that if you sell 5,000 books, that's a big deal. Right, like 5,000 is a big deal, and like anything more than that, like, will get you on a bestseller list. I'm like, wow, really? Go, yeah, but 5,000 books is tough because there's so many different publishers and there's so many ways to get books out. And you know, are you counting people buying it on the Kindle? You got to count people, you know, buying it in the store. You know, having enough hard copies of it. So you think about it. That okay, you know, 5,000. And I've heard stories that's what people do sometimes. That have the money is say, well, I'll just buy these 5,000 books myself. And, you know, then suddenly it's a hit, and that'll allow me to be an author that sold a lot of books, and maybe you can sell your second one. Now, you know, I don't have enough money to buy 5,000 books.
Wow.
Set up time and go through the internet and do it. So what they told me was that, you know, look, you know, you write your first book, and that's the way, and then you get it published, and then you start to make contacts, and people know that, oh, you've written a book before. Okay, I'll read your next one. And that's kind of what it is. It's kind of like getting your foot in the door that if you've written a book and it's been published, you can get your next one read by people. So it's kind of like a big steps there. So that's kind of where I am right now with my second book, which is actually, it's a political thriller. So I finished it about a year and a half ago. And, you know, trying to get it out, trying to get it to people, you know, it's kind of a thing. It's really difficult. And so I've been lucky enough to get it through my agency to get to them to their written representation. So I'm waiting to hear back. So I got my fingers crossed on that. But that's kind of how it goes, is that you write the first one. And that doesn't mean you're going to get to write a second one. It means you'll get people and more people to read your second one, which means you open yourself up to more publishers, more agents, more people who are willing to look at things, and maybe this works. And, you know, you just need one person to fall in love with your concept, and you can, you know, and it can wind up getting published. But the key is finding that right person.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody, and I've actually been talking to this person for a while about writing a book, and the lead time with the big publishing companies, it's insane the lead time they need on these books. But I love that story that you told, because it's like it's what goes on Instagram or Twitter, where people buy bots. They buy fake followers so they have more clout. Or in the case of books, you buy all the books, that way you get more clout, and then you can get the, you know, easier time with the second book. It's an interesting deal. Now, we only have a limited amount of time left, Jason, but I cannot talk to you without bringing up the Mets and the Jets. And now, we used to bust each other's balls. You would goof on me about the Dodgers, and I would goof on you about the Mets or the Jets, and you'd goof on me about the Clippers. But Robert Saleh, now he's inevitably going to fail as coach of the Jets. I think all Jets coaches fail. So are you going to replace him some point, Jason? Are you willing, or should they bring back Sexy Rexy, Rex Ryan, to coach the Jets one more time?
No, listen, I am going to do like I've done my whole life. I am completely behind this head coach until I'm not. Until I say, you know what, that's great, but we're moving on. All right, sorry about that. You know, it's like if you had a paid guest on your show, but it was a player on your team. Favorite team. Like, let's say you had Cody Bellinger on your show every week, right?
Okay.
And it was great. Cody Bellinger was fun. He would talk. He would be awesome. Great, great, great. And then Cody Bellinger gets traded. You would say, okay, great. Hey, who's the next Dodger that's going to come on the show? Who am I getting next? Is Max Muncy? Who's it going to be? Hey, I loved you, but now you're gone, right? That's how I feel about Robert Saleh. I will love him, love him, love him. And if he's great, but if not, I'll be the first guy to say, I am turning the page. I mean, I've turned the page on Sam. I love Sam Darnold. Turn the page on Sam Darnold. Couldn't wait to turn the page on Sam Darnold. That's kind of how it's been, because the Jets has been that revolving door all the way around year after year after year. So it's kind of to be expected right now. But it's okay, because we're going to get Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. We're going to have both those guys, and it's going to be great.
Well, it's completely reasonable. Yes, and then after that, they can bring back, how old's Ken O'Brien? They can bring him back, and he can play quarterback after that. Like, he can be, maybe he'll be the third-string quarterback. And then you got the mess. Now, Jason, the Dodgers rule the roost in the National League, Jason. I know you're all excited because of Francisco Lindor and all that. You're all gaga for Lindor. But you can finish runner-up if you want, but the Padres are pretty good too. So good luck for the Mets. And you finally got an owner that's willing to spend money, Jason, with the Mets. This guy's got this hedge fund guy, and then he gets screwed over with the GameStop stuff. So you can't win as a Mets fan, Jason.
I know. The Mets can't have nice things. Like, we had nice things for a good 90 days, man, and everything was great. And here's Steve Cohen. He's the richest owner in baseball. He's got money in shoeboxes in his office that he can pay out to guys. Oh, it was great. He's on Twitter. He's engaging with the fans. He's saying, we're going to spend. We make the Lindor trade. Things are great. Then the Jared Porter story breaks. Then we miss out on George Springer. And then we miss out on Trevor Bauer, who just used the Mets for leverage the entire time. He was never going to go to the Mets. He was just using them as leverage to get what he could out of the Dodgers. And now Steve Cohen and the GameStop thing, and I go, oh, man, you know, we had 90 days of the fast lane, man, and things are great. But I will say this now, buddy, and I'll say this to you.
Yeah.
I will see you in the NLCS. We will settle this in October in the NLCS.
All right. And we will make a gigantic wager on that if the Dodgers and Mets were to play in the NLCS, guaranteed, because the boys in blue are not going to lose to the Metropolitans. It's not going to happen, Jason. It's the era of Dodger baseball. They are the Atlanta Braves of the 90s, but unlike the Braves, they're going to win multiple World Series. Well, they should have already won in 2017 because the Astros cheated. We don't need to get into that. Hey, Jason, I got to go, but thank you, man. You're the greatest. Jason Smith, the Jason Smith Show, and you know him, you love him, the whole thing. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate your time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.